Well, good evening. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We had an enjoyable morning with the saints up at Tri-Lakes. It was our first opportunity to get up there and to for me to minister to them and for us to spend some time with the saints there. I talked briefly with Dave. Dave and Elka are in California for a church planters conference, and the conference is going well, and it's given them an opportunity to relive some old memories. And so I think that Dave's gotten the opportunity to try to hone his surfing skills and work on his tan a bit. If you would, please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and also draw your attention to your outline on the back of your bulletin. Well, notice this is labeled as number 4 in the series. Actually, this is number 5. I preached number 4 this morning. I was far enough along in my studies this week that I decided to go ahead and preach that sermon up at Tri-Lakes. So this morning's sermon was sort of a balance to this. This morning's sermon's focused on the need for us to have reverence and godly fear as we draw near to God in the new covenant. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, verses 19 through 22. Give our careful attention to the Word of God. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's pray very briefly. Our Father in heaven, we again come to you and seek your special blessing upon the preaching and hearing of your word. Lord, our confidence lies in your promise to bless this means, to edify us, to strengthen us, and to prepare us for our home in heaven. And so we pray that we, by faith now, would enter into those realities, and that you would indeed enable us to hear and receive the word with readiness for the glory of Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen. Well, as we bring this series to a close, I wanted to look at some practical applications of what we have been studying. So as New Covenant Christians, as people who live in an era of privilege, how do we respond? How do we live in light of the great privilege that we have in Jesus Christ? Well, if you look at verse 22 of our text, you will see a very clear exhortation. The writer says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." It's a command to draw near to God, to come into His presence. And this is not the first time that the writer has commanded us to do this. He's given us this directive in different ways. For example, in chapters 3 and 4, He commanded us to enter God's rest. At the end of chapter 4, we're commanded to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And now, as he begins to conclude his argument in the book, he makes this plea again. And notice that he tells us that we can have confidence or boldness to draw near to God. Now, the word for confidence implies courage to do something that would have otherwise been considered very, very dangerous. And if you think about the context of this book, he's comparing and contrasting the New Covenant with the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, drawing near to God was dangerous business. I doubt that any high priest of old ever went into God's presence with boldness and confidence. Jewish tradition holds that they actually tied a rope around one of the ankles of the high priest, so if he was struck dead by God, they could pull him out of the most holy place. That would not inspire confidence if I had a rope tied to my ankle up here. So this is a significant command. Now we are commanded to come boldly into the presence of God. Now, we may question the relevance of this command, because our problem as 21st century Christians is really not lack of confidence. If anything, it's lack of humility and reverence. There's much irreverence, much carelessness in our prayers and in our worship. If anything, we are overconfident. We very often come into God's presence without care or reverence. And so how do we avoid this irreverence and yet still heed this command to draw near to God? Well, the answer lies in the grounds of our confidence. In other words, what is the basis for our drawing near to God? And I want you to think about that. What is the basis for your drawing near to God? Because we can easily begin to think, I've cleaned up my life. I've overcome that big sin. I've been a good husband or a wife, a good son or daughter today. And then we feel like, okay, now I can draw near to God. But that kind of attitude places the ground of our confidence in ourselves and in our so-called good performance. The writer tells us where our confidence lies. He says that we are to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Not in full assurance of our own goodness or in full assurance of our great performance, but in full assurance of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and His great work for us. On verses 19 through 22, we're given three strong facts that form the ground of our confidence for drawing near to God. So that will form our outline for this evening. First of all, in verses 19 and 20, we're told that we can draw near to God because Jesus has opened a new and living way. In verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us, through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. Now, you'll notice how the writer is speaking in tabernacle terminology. He talks about the holy places, the blood, the curtain. This is tabernacle language. And when he says we can enter the holy places and go through the curtain, He's talking about the presence of God. The earthly high priest entered the presence of God only once a year, and not without blood. But now, he's saying, because of Christ's sacrifice, we are invited to come boldly at any time. And again, the writer is not saying anything new. In chapter 2 of this book, he calls Jesus the pioneer or the trailblazer of our salvation. In other words, Jesus is the one who blazed a new path. He made a new and living way for us. And then at the end of chapter 6, Jesus is called the forerunner. Someone who has gone before us and has entered God's presence on our behalf. Now notice how this new and living way was opened up. In verse 19, it was opened by the blood of Jesus. And in verse 20, through the curtain, that is, His flesh. And so this new and living way was opened by the blood and the body of Jesus. And this is why our new covenant sacramental meal points to those very things. The bread and wine symbolize the body and blood of Jesus, which inaugurated the new covenant and opened this new and living way. Now, the word translated new here, it's a very unique word. There's usually a standard word in the New Testament that's used for new. But here the writer departs from that normal usage. And the Greek word that he uses for new means just slaughtered or freshly killed. It was a term that was used of religious sacrifices. And so it's an interesting combination of words. It should strike us. This way that has been opened is new, or it is freshly killed, yet it is also living. Again, a strange combination. How can something be freshly killed and living at the same time? Well, consider this. Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one could come to the Father but through Him. In other words, Jesus is this new and living way. And so this unique description of the way fits Jesus perfectly. Freshly killed and living. Jesus was the sacrifice that was killed, but yet He is living. And what that means for us is that Jesus' sacrifice is as pleasing to the Father now as it was 2,000 years ago. My wife is painting, and she doesn't have any signs up, but if you came upon wet paint, you might see a sign that says fresh paint. And that means that the paint is still wet. So metaphorically speaking, Christ's blood is still wet. It is fresh. And that means that God will never forget Christ's sacrifice for you. He will never cease to accept the body and blood of Christ on your behalf. And because of this, you are invited to draw near to God with confidence. Christ's body was broken or torn, and at the same time, the veil was torn. And both of those acts were top to bottom, as it were. In other words, they were acts of God. It was the Father who tore that veil, and it was the Father's will to crush His Son. And so we can draw near to God with boldness and assurance of faith, because Jesus opened a new and living way through His body broken and His blood shed. Second, in verse 21, we can draw near to God with confidence because we have a representative who lives in the presence of God. He says, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God." And again, notice this idea of possession that we have highlighted before. We have a high priest. He is our high priest. Think back to everything that we have learned about Christ's priesthood in this study. We have a representative, a mediator, who conquered death, who's not ashamed of us, who's not ashamed to be called our brothers. He passed through the heavens. We learned that we have a representative who suffered and was tempted and can help us. He sympathizes with our weakness. And most importantly, we learned that our high priest offered a sacrifice that was most pleasing to God. A sacrifice that He offered on our behalf to make atonement for our sin. You have an advocate in heaven who pleads your case, who makes continual intercession for you. And the writer says, for this reason, you can draw near to God with boldness. Finally, we are told that we can draw near to God because we have been cleansed in a final way. Verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Again, notice how the writer is drawing on the imagery and the terminology of the Old Covenant ceremonies. He talks about sprinkling and washing. The priest would have to wash his body with water, and then he would go and he would sprinkle the blood on and around the mercy seat to make atonement. And the writer has made the point very clearly that those sprinklings and those washings were repeated over and over again. And we're told that they could not cleanse the conscience of the worshiper. But here, we are told that we can enter God's presence because we have been sprinkled and washed in a final way. And notice that the cleansing that Christ brings is inward. The writer has highlighted back in the previous section the externality of the Old Covenant ceremonies. But notice that this cleansing is inward. He says that our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our hearts, our conscience. This is an inward cleansing. And again, the writer brilliantly applies the Old Testament. He takes this terminology directly from Ezekiel chapter 36, which is printed in your outline there. Listen to the similarity in the language. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse or wash you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. So the writer is saying that Christ inaugurated the new covenant, that those promises that were given to the saints of old have been realized in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these are the grounds for drawing near to God. And notice how they provide us with this balance of confidence and humility. Confidence to approach God and to draw near to Him. But also humility. Humility because we enter on the basis of Christ's great work for us. And so both confidence and holy reverence should be present in our hearts as we ponder the great cost at which this new and living way was opened for us. So, brothers and sisters, this is a command to draw near to God. And we must do so with this balance of confidence and holy reverence. So this is how we draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for Jesus, the new and living way, who has blazed that path of salvation for us. The path that was cut off by the first Adam was opened in a new way by the second Adam. And Lord, we confess that we very often fail to draw near to you. We live with self-imposed restrictions. We measure ourselves on our own performance. We also confess that at times we burst into your presence, as it were, with carelessness and irreverence. So, Lord, may you teach us to indeed draw near with full assurance of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. And may that help us to have that balance of boldness and godly fear. Lord, we thank you that even now we are in your very presence. So we praise you and thank you for this great privilege. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior and High Priest. Amen.